Hi there, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us in person Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 o'clock in downtown Tulsa, or check out our webpage at tulsafbc.org. God bless you, and have a great week. Now, my wife is not here right now, but I want to do something that we did in the first service, but at least in absentia, since she's not here. Would you give my wife a hand clap? Because she's been married to me for 25 years, okay? The patience of that woman. Here's the thing you don't know behind the scenes. She has saved me from more mistakes, and I made plenty of mistakes as your pastor, but she has saved me from several. It's like, Darren, you are not doing that. And looking back, 9.9 times out of 10, she is absolutely right. We have a lot of the same common loves and interests. We both love words and writing. And so anytime I write something, she is my first and honestly my best editor. I think in marriage it's important you agree on important things. So she and I agree when it comes to the Oxford comma. That's very important to agree on that in a marriage. But there is one thing that 25 years we haven't resolved, and so we're going to fix this right now. All right. I said a little phrase right after we got married, and something she made a statement, and I said, "Well, if you believe that, you've got another thing coming." All right. I said that, and she said, "What are you saying?" I said, "You've got another thing coming." She said, "That's not the saying. The saying is you've got another think coming. That if you think a certain way, you've got another think coming." I thought, you are completely wrong. Okay. And so we have debated this for 25 years. So we're going to put this up for a vote right now. All right. If you say the phrase, "You've got another think coming," like my wife, let me see your hand if that's what you say. Wow, a lot more than the first service. Okay, I would say maybe that's maybe 40, even 50%. That's pretty good. Now, if you say it more like me and Jesus, "You've got another thing coming," let me see your hands up. Okay, that takes the day. That wins, okay? Now, here's something else I've learned in 25 years, that even when I'm right, I'm still wrong. That didn't take you long to learn that one in marriage. So, we are in this teaching series on prayer, and what I want you to see is every emotion is on the table when it comes to God. Please, I don't know where we got this idea that prayer has to be this polite and proper affair. We ought to be able to take any emotion that we have to God, and we've tried to model that through the Psalms, whether it's restlessness or fear or guilt or depression. Don't hide who you are from God. Don't be inauthentic. Don't be superficial. Take those emotions to Him in prayer. So the one we're going to look at today is, how do you pray when you feel overwhelmed? And as I talk to people, more times than not, people are going through life just overwhelmed by obligations, by family, by work, by keeping up with everything happening on social media. People are just absolutely overwhelmed. And you think, well, this is just the way modern life is. That there's really no choice about it. This is the way that we're expected to live in our day and time. And if you think that, you've got another thing coming. All right. See what I did there? I kind of pulled that again together. You do have another thing coming. You don't have to live a life that is overwhelmed by too many obligations, and you don't have to spiral into unhappiness. Okay. So for this, I want to take us to, this is my favorite psalm, Psalm 103. And instead of me reading it, I just want to recite it over us this morning. Okay. Would you just soak this in? "My soul, bless the Lord, and all that is in me, bless His holy name. My soul, bless the Lord, and do not forget all of His benefits. He forgives all your transgressions. He heals all of your diseases. He rescues your life from the pit and crowns you with faithful love and compassion. He restores your strength as the eagles. The Lord executes acts of justice and righteousness for all the oppressed. He revealed His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse or be angry with us forever. He has not treated us as our sins deserved. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So instead of being overwhelmed by life, what Psalm 103 does is it gives us an opportunity to say, instead of being overwhelmed by my life, I should choose to be overwhelmed by God. And when we become overwhelmed by God, when we see his goodness, when we see his consistency of character, when we see his power to forgive, it puts all of life into its proper perspective. And so I guess that would be the question I would lead with today. Which one seems bigger to you right now, your life or God? And it ought to be God, and God ought to be growing. And as we are overwhelmed with him, then we are not so overwhelmed with life. So I want to walk through Psalm 103, and this is how to pray when we're overwhelmed, because it puts us in touch with some realities, some things that we need to remember. Here's how the psalm opens. My soul bless the Lord. Notice that the psalmist is not listening to his heart. He's leading his heart. He's talking to himself at this prayer. My soul bless the Lord and all that is in me. So Dave here a minute ago talked about St. Augustine, who was looked at as a lost cause, but his mom just kept praying for him, right? St. Augustine later in life would describe sin like this. Sin is when we are curved in on ourselves. That everything's about me, we are curved in on ourselves. But when Christ steps into our life, we uncurl, we unfurl, and we are meant to live in a relationship with God. We are meant to reflect him. We are meant to uncurl, and all that is in me, bless his holy name. Here's a challenge for you. Do you endure God or do you enjoy God? I'm not trying to sound over spiritual, but one of my favorite times of the week is Saturday morning. Typically, and I get up real early most days of the week. Saturday, I sleep all the way into 7 o'clock, you know. And I get up before anybody else in the house moves. Nothing's on the schedule typically for Saturday. And I have time to go in my study, and as one person wrote about a dozen years ago, waste time with God. Say, God, let's just spend some time. There's no place to be. There's nothing I have to do today. Just to enjoy being in your presence. I wasn't always there, and sometimes I drift away from that. But I want you to know it's within your capability because you were created for this. You were created to enjoy being in the presence of God. Whether it's on a Saturday morning or a Monday morning, to walk with him through life and to enjoy and to experience the empowerment of his presence. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is in me, bless his holy name. By the way, I also have to say this. What this prayer does is it turns prayer on its head, prayer as we know it. When's the last time that you've stopped asking God to bless you and you bless him? So many times we're asking God, bless me, bless me, bless me. Nothing wrong with that. But as any relationship goes, it's a give and take. What happens if you were to turn that around and say, God, I'm going to spend today blessing you? That chance encounter with an old friend, that unexpected email or phone call, or just when you look around your house and you realize that your house isn't flooded at the moment. God bless you. Or you have the blessing of all your kids are at home and under the roof and safe. Or the blessing that all your kids have moved out of the house and they're on their own. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless you, God. What would it be like if you spent today and every day this week blessing God? It might just be exactly what you need. God's blessed you enough. Maybe you need to bless him in turn. And all that is in me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget his benefits. Walter Brueggemann, a big writer on the Psalms, he says this, prosperity breeds amnesia. Didn't Moses say this to the Israelites before they moved into the Holy Land? He said, when you go in, you're going to live in houses that you didn't build, vineyards you didn't plant, and when life gets really good, you're going to say, we did this ourselves. Do not forget the Lord your God. We have this tendency for prosperity to breed amnesia, that when things are good, we just forget how much we really need God. And if you wonder why bad things happen sometimes, It might just be because the Lord wants to give us a reminder that you can't do life without me. Don't forget this. So, I heard a statistic last week. I wish I had written down the source, but it was too quick. It was on the radio. If we continue to pollute our oceans at the rate we are right now, there will be more plastic in the oceans. By 2050, there'll be more plastic in the ocean than there are fish. Isn't that hard to imagine? That there'll be more mass of plastic in our ocean than there are of fish. This week, an oceanographer went all the way down to the Mariana Trench, set a new record for the depths of going into the ocean. She went 7 miles down. She kicked on her external lights. She discovered 4 new species of fish that were not even known to exist. And you know what she also saw at the bottom of the ocean? A plastic bottle. We have a way of everywhere we go, we just make a mess. And we cannot forget this, that without God, my life is a total mess. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget His benefits. So what does God do? He forgives all of our transgressions. I wonder sometimes if we are judgmental against our world because we forget how much Jesus has really forgiven us. We are all a lost cause without Him. He heals all of our diseases. Some of you are here today because God literally saved your life. Either He saved you from a tragic accident, a deadly mistake, He cured you of a disease. God still heals today. And your presence here is a testament to that fact. He crowns us with faithful love and compassion. He satisfies us with good things. So I love, and I've loved this for a long time, the toilet paper roll theory of existence. My wife has invited me to clean that up a little bit, but I'm not going to. She's got another thing coming if she thinks I'm going to clean that up. That's the last time I'll use that. Maybe. But if you've ever used a roll of toilet paper, and hopefully you have, So here's what's going to happen. This is why I tell stories, so that later on something happens in the week and it clicks. So you're going to think of me later this week. I really enjoyed church on Sunday. My email is jeff.elkins@tulsafbc.org. So when you pull the... When you have a fresh roll of toilet paper, love a good fresh roll of toilet paper, you start pulling on it, that internal spindle, that plastic, that cardboard piece in the middle, it turns really slow, doesn't it? Okay. But then as you get closer and closer to the center, you're pulling at the same speed, but internally, because of the circumference, it's spinning faster now. Until you get to the very center and it really spins like crazy. That's what life feels like. When we were young, I remember my 4 years of college seemed like it took forever. It took forever until I was driving, until I finally graduated. But now I experience life through my kids. They were born, and the next thing, they were driving. My daughter goes into college, and the next thing I know, she's walking across the stage. As you get closer to the center of life, as you move further along, it just speeds up and goes faster and faster and faster. And life seems to be overwhelming because it's moving so fast. Stop. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is in me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget His benefits. We don't have to live too busy or too overwhelmed with life if we are overwhelmed with God and His goodness. Now, not only is the psalmist attracted to the goodness of God, he's attracted to the consistent goodness of God. So see what he does. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in faithful love. Here's what you need to know about this one verse. It appears 9 times in the Old Testament. The first time is when God gives the 10 commandments to His people. Actually, it's the second time He gave the 10 commandments. There was a problem the first time. Moses broke those tablets. And God gave the 10 commandments a second time. And as God gives the commandments, by the way, I think what a great picture of God being a God of second chances. God says this of himself: I am the Lord, the compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in faithful love. One theologian called this a word-for-word self-portrait of God. So I don't know how you grew up thinking about God, but I know many of you might have grown up with God not being described this way at all. In fact, God is callous and he is graceless. He is quick to curse and he is abundant in anger. If you heard that growing up in church, let me tell you, that is dead wrong. That is some preacher's skewed view of God. This is the word-for-word self-portrait of who God is. So come to my office sometime. You'll see portraits on one wall. That's my hero's wall. For people who maybe just for one reason deserve a place on this wall. Winston Churchill, Abraham Lincoln, John Adams, John Bunyan. There's one picture that I always do a little pop quiz with. Who's that? And most people don't know. So now you're going to know. I'll give you the pop quiz. It's Michelangelo. He painted the Sistine Chapel ceiling when he was in his 60s. And the reason few people know that portrait is because we really don't have a ready image of what Michelangelo looked like. But here's what you need to know. The portrait on my wall is a self-portrait. Michelangelo didn't hire a painter to do his portrait. Why? He's the master. Who gets any better than him? And so he painted his own portrait. That's exactly what God does here. Why am I going to let you tell anybody else who I am? Here's who I am. The compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love, the consistent goodness of God. He spoke these words to Moses 3,500 years ago. They crop up 9 times in the Old Testament. Jonah in the belly of the fish. Nehemiah when he finished his wall. Now, 9 times in the Old Testament. You know how many times this verse is used in the New Testament? 0. Why? Because we don't need a word-for-word self-portrait of God. We see the Word himself in Jesus Christ. And here is exactly who he is. And so to be overwhelmed, not by life, but by God, to see his goodness, his consistent goodness, and then God's power to forgive. As the high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithful love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So Kit Delanier, she's probably somebody you haven't heard of, but she made it her goal at the beginning of this century to not only climb the 7 highest peaks on the 7 continents, but to ski down them. Okay, so when she got to the top of whatever mountain she scaled, she would ski down. Her last was Mount Everest in October 2006. She got to the top of Everest, 29,000 feet up. She put on her skis. She looked down that face, and she said to herself, "If I make one mistake, I'm dead." That's what I would say to myself, except it would be different. I'll make a mistake and I'm dead. That's what I would say. All right. Can you imagine that? Just imagine, if you can, being at the top of Mount Everest and looking down at 29,000 feet to ski down. Oh my goodness. So what the psalmist does here is he says, can you imagine the forgiveness of God? And he measures the forgiveness of God by what is immeasurable. As high as the heavens are above the earth. The ancients would look up at the sky. They didn't understand atmosphere the way we do, but they would look up at the blue and see infinite. They would look up at the night sky and see infinite. As high as that is, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west. So again, the ancients didn't understand the world as we do today as being a globe. But I think how good this is that he said as far as the east is from the west. Because think about this. If he would have said as far as the north is from the south, if you're traveling north, you go far enough north, you're eventually going to be going south. You go far enough south, you're going to eventually be going north again. But if you travel east, how far do you have to go before you're going west? Never happens. You'll keep on going east forever. You want to go west? I'm going to keep going west until I'm going east. It'll never happen. This is how big God's love is. And I mention this just because I've wrestled with this in recent days. If we recall a sin from your past and you go, I understand God's forgiveness, but I'm worried He can't forgive me for that. Your issue is not with your sin. Your issue is with how you view the forgiveness of God. And I'm telling you, if we're going to take God at His word, His forgiveness is infinite. But not only infinite, here's my favorite verse. His love is also intimate. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. Parents, we've got one shot to raise our kids right. Okay? I wish I could do mine over again in some regards. But there's a couple of things that I wouldn't change. I'm glad that my kids watched me play growing up, and I'm glad I let them watch me pray. And so with my kids, they knew in the morning when they got up and got ready for school, they could come in my study, even though I was having a quiet time, my prayer time, they could come in, they could join me for prayer. And so did this different ways over the years. But when my youngest son, when he was 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, I would pray in my recliner. I would be in my study in the morning, lay back that recliner, and just take a quiet time of prayer. So my youngest son got into the habit of coming into my study. Again, they can come in anytime they want to. And he would lay on top of me as I was praying. Now, he outgrew this when his feet started dangling off the recliner. You know, we knew it was time for that to end. But he would come and lay on top of me, and we would pray there for a little while. And we did this just rather naturally. He would put his breathing into sync with mine. And father and son were in sync, and we would go on about our day. What a great picture of prayer. We live such breathless, gasping lives. But to bring our breathing in sync with the Father, that as He breathes, we breathe. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. Is life big? Yes. Is God bigger? Absolutely. When you look at Jupiter next time, that big red spot, that's big enough to hold 6 Earths in that one storm. And I know sometimes we experience these storms of life and it seems like it swallowed our whole world 6 times over. But the love of God is even greater. Bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is in me. Bless His holy name. Stand with me and let's pray together this morning. Father, quite honestly, You have blessed most of us enough. We are the most blessed people on the planet. Just looking at some of the luxuries and materials that we have and looking at the resources available to us, I think in good conscience we should say, stop, You've blessed us enough. But You just keep on going. And so today we stop asking and we start leading our hearts in the direction to bless You. That Your love is greater far than any expression we could possibly give it. So in these next few moments, would You receive our hearts? Would You receive our song? Would You receive our spirit as blessing You as You deserve to be blessed? And we worship You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of each worship service on Sunday morning, I offer a simple blessing, and I offer that blessing to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you, and may God grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.